Investing Simplified is brought to you by Chuck Price, President and Wealth Manager of Price Financial Group, Wealth Management Incorporated, a registered investment advisor firm. Individual situations will vary, and the information on this show should only be relied upon when coordinated with individual advice. Other parties present on this broadcast are not affiliated with Price Financial Group Wealth Management. Chuck can be contacted by visiting www.pfgwm.com. You can email Chuck a question at askchuck@pfgwm.com, or you can call him right now at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now, here's the host of Investing Simplified, Chuck Price.
We do Investing Simplified.
Well, good morning and welcome to Investing Simplified. This is your opportunity to ask your question about your taxes or your investing. Today, in studio with me is Kevin Stege with the Baker Coastal CPA firm.
Hello, Chuck.
Oh, Kevin. Hopefully this morning we can get some callers asking us some questions because, you know, when it comes to your taxes and it comes to your investing, there is no foolish question. This is, you know, we all have to pay money for taxes. We all have to be accountable for our own investing. So this is your opportunity. This is your show to call in and ask your question. You can reach us at 503-417-7626, or you can call toll-free at 800-990-0750. That's 800-990-0750. And listen, we've got a jam-packed show today to talk to you about because I've got a lot of stuff to go over that I've mentioned before that I was going to talk about on the show. But and I know Kevin's got some interesting tax information. But this is an opportunity for you to call in and ask a question. Get that hot cup of coffee in your hand. Hopefully it gets your eyes awake. And give us a call because we're looking forward to answering your question. You know, Kevin, there's a lot of things going on in the financial business world. And one of the things I've talked about on the show numerous times, and I talk to my clients about, you know, there are good annuities and there are bad annuities. And not every annuity is the same. And, we try to tell people that. I mean, annuities are designed for two things. Annuities are designed to give you lifetime income you cannot outlive and to shelter earnings on an investment. Now, I don't consider annuities an investment per se because historically, when you go back and you look the last 20 years, their returns are not comparable to a real investment product. So there is a big difference. I don't think you buy an annuity for an investment. You buy an annuity to give yourself guaranteed income. I know many of my clients have annuities in their portfolio, but the annuities they have are designed for one thing in mind, and that is to provide lifetime income when the client decides to retire, or they got to pull their IRA at 70 and a half, they got to start taking income, and they want to have guaranteed income they can't outlive. And as far as I know, there is no other instrument in the IRS tax code or in the investment world, there is no other investment that has somebody else insuring or guaranteeing your income like an insurance company. It's kind of like you buy car insurance. The reason you buy car insurance is not because you're planning on having a wreck. That's not the right reason to buy it. The reason to buy it is if that unforeseen thing happens, you have insurance to protect your car and to protect you and your family in case somebody runs that red light. And, you know, this just came to light here about a weekend ago. My wife and I was coming out of a store, entering a road that's a very busy road. And one of the cars coming on my left, we had a clear signal to go across and turn left to go the other way. And the cars coming on my left, one of the drivers ran a red light. And fortunately, I was looking that way because I had a left turn lane and I was turning left and I had already looked to the right and I looked to the left and I saw him coming into the intersection and I stopped and he hit his brakes and slid And fortunately, he did not hit me. But I could see his wife yelling at him. And he knew because he grabbed all four and the brakes hit and he slid through the intersection. And thank goodness there was nobody coming on my right doing an illegal left turn. The guys on my right were turning to the right and I was turning to the left. But thank goodness there was nobody else over there because sometimes people, you know, go around you if you're going too slow. And I went pretty slow through that intersection because when I saw him, I stopped. But if I had just kept going and said, oh, I got a light, I can go, I got the right of way, you know what? I might not be here today. And they may not be here today.
Well, that's the old adage that you even if you have a green light, you still make sure that things are clear, and you always keep looking. So that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Well, so on annuities, then I mean, typically the selling point is security, isn't that right? When somebody is trying to sell an annuity, they are selling lifetime security to the individual, and that's often what's appealing.
Well, that should be the number one reason to be buying an annuity, in my mind, is the guaranteed lifetime income. Because when you stack it up as far as an investment versus other investments that we offer, you're talking about a 3.5 to 5% return versus a 7 to 9% return. So the annuities just don't stack up in the rate of return as other investments do, in my mind. And I can certainly show people that. It always amazes me when I have people come in and they come in for a financial review and they have me look at their products and they have an annuity. And they say, well, I bought this annuity and it's, you know, it's paying 14%. Oh, really? Let's take a look at your portfolio. And we go back and we do the numbers. And what had happened was this particular person bought this annuity at a time they were showing the five-year rate from the bottom of the market crash, which is 2009, up to 2014, and showing that previous 5 years of the return. And I said, well, let me show you something here in the information you got, because did they show you the 10-year numbers? Because the 10-year numbers had a totally different picture. This thing went down to about a 4% return. Not nearly the same numbers they had, you know, going in. Mm-hmm. Or at least they had assumed they had going in. You know, one of the things about investing, it is timing. Timing is the key. When you go in the market, and right now, a lot of these companies, and I have people coming into my office all the time with some mutual fund they bought or some investment they bought at the bottom of the market, and it's had a great run-up, and they think this fund's going to always pay those kind of returns, and it's not. It's just, if you go back and look at the history of it, it gives you a totally different picture. And annuities are funded one of two ways. Annuities are either funded by an insurance company's subaccounts, or in some cases there's a product called a variable annuity, which is sold through licensed securities brokers. And those annuities are investing in mutual funds, just like a mutual fund you buy, only they have sub-mutual funds inside the annuity, so they're investing in the market. Now, You pay a much more healthier fee. The average variable annuity probably has anywhere from 2.25% to 4.5% per year cost, and that ain't cheap.
In addition to the upfront cost,
well, no. If you buy the annuity, it's either an upfront cost or a deferred cost.
I see.
But the ongoing cost, if you're paying an upfront fee to buy an annuity, which is very, very few. There's only a few companies that sell those, what are called A-share annuities. And the internal costs of those are about 1.75. But those are usually about 4.5 to 5% up front. So you really have to weigh that, how long you're going to keep the product. But to me, the single reason to buy an annuity is not the deferral. The single reason to buy the annuity is to have the guaranteed lifetime income. And There's a couple of states right now. Colorado just passed a rule, and there's 14 states now that are following this the National Commissioner's recommendation, and they're saying that you cannot say some things like refer to an annuity as safe. You can't use the word safe.
But that's what they've been doing from inception with these products.
Yeah, yeah, and they're coming out now saying that you can't say risk free, you can't say safe, and you can't say secure, and there's similar terms that the insurance commissioners are now coming out. Excuse me, I said 14. There's 13 states that have now taken this. Colorado's the last one, and this was a recommendation developed back in 2000 by the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, NAIC, and only 13 states have approved this. Now, I don't want to say that it's because the states get a lot of revenue from annuity sales, although they do. They get paid on every annuity sale. I would think for the safety of the public that there should be some ongoing requirements that each of the states follow in this area, because I hear from time to time on the radio some outrageous claims by people who are insurance people who sell annuities, and that's all they sell. You know, they've never seen an annuity they didn't like, and every client fits in the same box. And I can tell you, you know, when I sit down with a client and all they own are the same annuities over and over again, and some without guaranteed income benefits, and some are sold to max out the commission for the agent, I have to really question if that agent is doing the best interest of the client. And this is one of the things I want to talk about is fiduciary responsibility. I'm a registered investment advisor. When I meet with a client, I have a fiduciary responsibility to protect my client first and last. My client is number one. Not all advisors are created equal. Not all advisors or stockbrokers have a fiduciary responsibility to the people they're talking with. And you need to ask your advisor right up front, do you have a fiduciary responsibility? Or are you required to protect your company first? Are you required to protect your broker-dealer first? Or if you're an insurance agent, are you required to protect your insurance company first? And the other thing I'd be asking my insurance agent in this day and age, because there are very, very few captive agents who work for just one company, I'd be asking that insurance agent, do you represent more than one company? Do you shop around and get me the best deal? Do you really look at all the competition out there and say, here's the best thing I can find? As an independent advisor, that's one of the things we do. We consistently look at the total market, what is out there and available for our clients. We're not tied to any one company, and we don't want to be. We want to do what we think is in the best interest of our client.
Are you finding more and more instances in this tough economic times of clients coming into you that have annuities in their portfolios or are being recommended to buy annuities? Is the tough economic times generating more of a sales pitch for annuities and the security that supposed security that they provide?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think a lot of people are scared about their portfolios. They're scared about the market going down. And I do think we are going to have a major correction in the market. But you need to have a strategy. But that strategy doesn't mean to tie it up and only make 3.5 to 5%. You know, that's an okay strategy, but most annuities you have to tie up 7 to 10 years. So when you're tying that up, you're tying up the freedom. You still got to have your other money, earning money. We represent our clients. We show them a 3-bucket strategy. We have the first bucket is safe money. You want to have it in a conservative thing, maybe in a money market account or some kind of a liquid account where you can get your hands in your money. But it's only going to earn 3 to 5% if you're lucky. You know, we tell them about 3%. You know, but it's liquid. You're not taking a high risk. The next bucket we use, we talk about is a 6 to 7%, maybe 8%. That's very conservative. Preservation of principal type portfolio. The third one we talk about is what we call the moderate investment. That's about as high as we go, 8 to 9. And we tell people that if you want to be in the next bucket, the aggressive bucket, then you're probably at the wrong place, you know, because that's not what we're all about. What we're all about is preserving our client's principal, giving them a reasonable rate of return, living to fight another day when the market goes down. And we think it's far better to avoid a big market decline than it is to make big market upswings and then turn around and lose them in 6 months. We just don't think that's the way to go. Most people don't want a roller coaster for their investment portfolio. They want a steady, steady growth. Well, listen, we're going to take a quick break, come right back with Investing Simplified, and we're actually going to come back and have Kevin talk about taxes, and we're going to have the tax investigator. As I mentioned, Carl's got the week off, but we may touch estate planning a little bit. Who knows? We may talk about anything. The question is, if you give us a call, we'll talk about whatever that's on your mind. Give us a call at 503-417-7626 or toll free 800-990-0750. We'll be right back with Investing Simplified.
The time to stop working is approaching, or maybe it's already arrived. CDs and money markets are paying only fractions of a point. How secure do you feel about retiring right now? Call Chuck Price. He's located right here in Portland, and he can show you how to increase your Social Security up to 67% using specific program rules and the file and suspend strategy. Chuck specializes in working with people who are either retired or are close to retiring, and he focuses on how to never run out of money during retirement. Do this today. Schedule a free 20-minute retirement plan phone consultation or schedule an appointment with Chuck himself. Call 503-253-3000. That's 503-253-3000. Chuck Price at Price Financial Group Wealth Management. On the web at pfgwm.com. Do you have a tax question? Here's your opportunity to ask the tax investigator, Kevin Stege, CPA and partner of the Baker Colson CPA firm. You can call Kevin at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's the CPA with the tax answers, CPA Kevin Stege.
This is Investing Simplified. Give us a call, 503-417-7626. We do welcome your calls and definitely want to hear from you, hear what's on your mind. This is a great Saturday morning here where maybe you don't have a lot going on or something to give us a buzz and maybe what you've been thinking about over the summer. This is a good time to get it out and maybe get a different perspective on it or get some information going to help you make a decision. Well, you know, Chuck, just from my perspective on annuities, obviously I'm not involved as you are in terms of buying and selling, but I do see them quite often on our tax returns and our estate planning. And I guess the one thing that really gets me with annuities is when, and this is kind of the common scenario that I see, and I've seen it many times, and I want to walk gingerly here, but where the example would be the financially educated first spouse passes away, and the second spouse, who has maybe never done the tax returns, has never been involved in the investing, now is in charge of things, in charge of the family assets, as it were, and all of a sudden, their investment portfolio is going into annuities all over the place, and that to me just kind of gets under my skin a little bit when I see that. And you know, the purpose of it is if unethical financial advisor is basically making commission sales into annuities and just churning annuities even.
Well, one of the problems we've done in our industry, and I talk about it a lot in the book when I go through about how to pick your advisor, but I could tell you one thing. If you have a guy who's your who calls himself a financial advisor, the first thing you need to ask him is, what are you licensed to advise? Are you licensed for insurance and annuities and that's it? And you're advising me in the stock market? You're advising me on investments? Because listen, by law, annuities and insurance are not investments. They are not investments. And if somebody's telling you they're an investment, they are not an investment. They are an insurance product. Now, the variable annuity and the variable life, and there's these guys going around that sell bank on yourself. Have you heard those ads, bank on yourself? That is the biggest ripoff in the country. I mean, it absolutely is. I had a client come in and call me and say, hey, I got this thing, bank on your life, and I'm going to cash out all my stuff. He was going to even cash out his Roth and put it into this insurance policy because he could take the money out tax-free. And I said, wait a minute. Let's get this guy on the phone. So I got the guy on the phone from Salt Lake City. This is a big group of guys that sell this stuff all over the country. They run ads all the time. So we got on the phone with my client, and I called this guy. And I asked him just one thing. I said, verify, show me the numbers that you guys have done on this product for the last 20 years. Well, he couldn't. He couldn't show me the numbers because they don't have any numbers. They're hypothetical numbers. They're what, well, if this happens and that happens, this is going to happen. The reality is you're heading for a train wreck. Whenever anybody shows you an investment with an average annual return of 7.5%, there is no investment in the world that makes 7.5% every year, every year, every year. The fact is the investment may make 18 one year, may lose 20 the next year. That's the reality of your money. And unless somebody shows you the real movement of your money, what it really is making year from year to year, the numbers are not real. They're fake. And I try to tell people, and yes, the law says you have to show average annual return. As I show in my book, average annual return is one of the biggest myths in the investing world. It doesn't mean a thing. It is not real. It's a fake number. It's a number that was designed in the 30s to get people to invest back in the market after the big crash, and this is how we're going to report the earnings, average annual return. Nobody's even questioned to this point, except I do in my book, question why the regulators have never changed that. It's insane. But we live in kind of a irrational time.
Well, anything that comes out of Washington, D.C. can have that label on it, and it fits. So, and this is not to say that there's not a place for annuities in a portfolio. I'm sure you'd be the first to say that. There's probably a scenario. There's possibly a place for reverse mortgages. There's possibly a place for foreclosed property, coastal property in Zimbabwe.
it's kind of like, you know, there is a place for annuities because if you need to have some guaranteed income, there's a place for an annuity in your portfolio possibly. But for some people, there isn't. If they have a guaranteed pension and they have a guaranteed income, they have got their guaranteed income taken care of. Maybe they need to invest their money and make better returns, and they can. It's kind of like you tell people about eating. You know, when you eat food, you want to have so many carbs, you want to have so many proteins, you want to have so many fats. You know, it's the same thing in putting a financial portfolio together. You got to have a little bit of all those things.
Yep, sounds good. Well, moving on to the tax side of things, keeping more of your hard-earned investing returns. This was an interesting court case that got reinforced. They had already made a decision on this, but it just has been reinforced by the tax court to show that this is an important concept, and I think we can all learn a little bit about it. And you know, we've been messing around in tax court cases here for a while because there has been nothing interesting in the news about taxes. There have been no, with the upcoming elections, anything coming out of Washington, D.C. is just speculation and status quo until after the elections. So the tax court is just about the only thing giving us anything of interest. And in this particular case, we'll talk about the law real briefly. The IRS has 3 years in general to look at a return that you filed and audit it or let it go. And so, and it's 3 years, there's various rules, but in general, it's 3 years from the due date of the return. So your 2013 tax return is due April 15th of 2014. So 3 years after the date that it was due, April 15th of 2017, they have that window to look at your 2013 tax return. Unless you have, number one, if you've never filed a return, the statute doesn't run. Number two, if you have filed a fraudulent return, the statute doesn't run. But another rule is, if you underreport 25% of your gross income, they have a six-year window. So if you filed a return that's basically frivolous and you haven't included your true income and you underreport it by 25%, they have a six-year window to take a look at your return. And so this particular court case was where an investor who had quite a bit of capital gains, and they filed a tax return and they reported some of those capital gains. I don't know if it was in error or on purpose, or that's beside the case. But this was an argument of this rule of the six-year window. In year four, the IRS came and said to the taxpayer, hey, you owe us quite a bit of money because you underreported capital gains. And the taxpayer argued, no, you're after the three-year window, so you can't touch this. And what the argument came down to was, what is gross income? The taxpayer had reported, you know, a huge amount of gross sales. Is it gross sales or is it gain? Is it the net profit at the end of it that was underreported? And so the taxpayer was saying, well, I reported $7 million of, you know, gross sales on my capital gains. But the IRS said, no, you didn't report, you know, almost half a million of actual gain on the tax return. And it went to tax court, and the tax court said, you know what, we've already decided this. And they referred to a case years prior. And once again, the IRS is correct in this case, and the taxpayer had a frivolous argument. You have to, it's based on the gain that's reported. And so, you know, if they were able to include, you know, $7 million of gross sales price, well, they clearly, you know, reported it, within 25% of that. But so they, the taxpayer in this case ended up having to foot the bill, and the IRS could look at them through this six-year window. So it's important, number one, to get your tax return correct. But then number two, don't go to tax court when there's clearly a case against you.
You know, Kevin, I've had numerous people that have told me that, you know, some of the outrageous returns they've been able to accomplish mm-hmm. on doing their own trading. And very few of them will ever really show you their tax return, at least to me, maybe to you, because they have no choice. They have to pay taxes. But what I always ask them is, I mean, you're saying some awful great numbers that you've traded on. What was your net taxable return? And they look at you with glazed eyes, and they have no idea what you're talking about. But that kind of refutes the fact that they made those returns, because if they didn't file a tax return and they were doing trading and making 23%, most of that is short term. So most of that is ordinary income. It's not capital gain treatment. So, you know, if you're successful at all, you're in a 35 to 43% tax bracket. So what's your real return? You almost cut it in half after taxes. So you really got to look at what you're getting out of what you're doing.
Is it worth the risk that
yes,
you're doing?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, your tax percentages there include the Oregon percent, so that's people have to consider that. So it's and if you're considered, you know, self-employed doing this, if this is a business that you're doing, now you got to tack on some self-employment tax on a percentage of it. So anyway, it's
yeah, people who think you can, you know, I listen to these ads. In fact, I heard one coming down here today this morning. I was going through listening to some different sports shows on the way down, and I heard an advertisement for a home business. You know, set up your home business, you can make X number of dollars, yada 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 yada. But there was no talk about the fact that if you set up a business in your home and you start making money, You have to pay taxes, and you have to pay self-employment tax. You have to contribute to Social Security. You can't just open up a shop, start making revenue, and not pay the tax man.
That's
it doesn't
right.
work that way.
That's right. You know, my wife and I went to one of these timeshare spiels where we listened to their pitch to buy a timeshare, and then we got you know, some wonderful gifts at the end of it that we just couldn't refuse. And during the timeshare spiel, they had we had declined the first offer and the second offer, and they bring the manager on over to give us that.
It's almost like buying a car. Isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Right. Yeah. And so they bring in that sweet third offer, and the manager was trying to sell to me. She says, well, you know, you can write this off on your taxes. And they make it sound like you can write the whole thing off on your taxes.
Uh-oh, she said the wrong thing to the wrong guy.
Well, yes, especially with my wife having her own tax business also. We read Pub 17 at night together. So, anyway, I said, well, not quite. And the assistant who was doing the original, who was with us, she quickly looks at her manager and says, well, they do taxes. So, and my point to bringing this up is, yes, you can write off a tad of your mortgage interest if this is your only, quote, second home. And yes, the portion of your annual fees that you pay on your timeshare that is associated with real estate taxes, you can write those off too. But usually it's a pretty small amount that you're getting to write off.
And don't you, and you got to be careful with timeshares, because there are two kinds of timeshares. One, you actually get a deed of trust. The other one, you're just a renter to the property. And that one, you don't get the same write-offs. If you actually own a title to the property,
that's right.
You get to write off
that's right.
some of those fees and some of those, and you get to write off any taxes that are paid. But if you're a renter, you don't get that.
Yeah.
So you got to make sure you have a title to the property.
Yeah.
So there's a big difference. They're not all created the same.
Yeah. You know, when somebody has a portfolio of timeshares and they've passed away, it's always an interesting time trying to value those timeshares for an estate tax return. You know, somebody has over $1 million and we have to file an Oregon estate return, and they've got three or four different timeshares. Boy, oh boy, when you try to put a value on those, they're not very valuable.
No. In fact, I've bought several of them, but I've not paid full price for any of them, because there's an organization called redweek.com, and you can go on there and get the prices of what timeshares are worth, and you can't believe some of these. I mean, I've paid really low price for one particular one I bought that had sold for $40,000 to start with. I actually bought it for $500. Yeah. So, yep. And that included $250. That was to change the title to my name. And but you got to pay the ongoing fees, and if you're not going to use them, you're not going to come out. You got to use the property to make it come out. But you can go on there, and I tell people, if they own timeshares, you can go on there and you get a full value of what you can actually get out of it, and they're really easy to work with.
Mm-hmm. Very good, and that was my exact point of making this. Timeshare is not a bad thing. Just go to the right market to purchase it. And it is online. There's you can typically find the timeshare you're looking to get yep. into being sold at pennies on the dollar.
Absolutely.
And yep. and save yourself some bucks.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's redweek.com, and I've referred a lot of clients to it who were telling me they were going to buy a timeshare. So before you pay all that upfront money and the commissions to the guy selling you the timeshare, you can go on and buy from some other sucker that paid all that money. And now they want out because they don't want to pay the ongoing fee. And a lot of times you can do it just to pay the cost of the transfer. Well, we're going to take a quick break and come right back with Investing Simplified. If you got a question, give us a call, 503-417-7626 or 800-990-0750. Remember, no foolish question when it comes to your money. And that's what we're talking about today, your money. Give us a call.
Hello, this is Kevin Stege, shareholder with Baker & Colson Certified Public Accountants, serving the Portland and Southwest Washington areas for almost 40 years. We are a full-service accounting and consulting firm offering our services to a wide range of business and individual clients. One of the largest expenses to a household or a business is its tax burden. While off-the-shelf tax products can help file simple returns, they can't know your plans for the future and not only provide insight and planning to help you get there, but actually help you along the way. There are just some things that can't be replaced by experience. Whether you are just beginning your working career or have a well-established business with many employees, rely on the professionals at Baker & Coulson to help in an efficient, accurate, and personalized manner. We are located at 2414 Northeast Division in Gresham and can be reached at our website at bakercoulson.com or 503-666-5569. That's bakercoulson.com, 503-666-5569. And remember, at Baker & Coulson, our service is the product our clients remember most.
What you don't know can hurt you. Get that investing question or that legal question or even a tax question answered now. Call the Knowledge Trust at 503-417-7626. That's 503-417-7626. Now here's Chuck, Carl, and Kevin, the Knowledge Trust.
My name is Money.
You gotta like that song. Have you ever seen the video to that song, Kevin?
No, I haven't.
Go on YouTube and check that video out. This gal just opens up a little her guitar case and starts playing a guitar and singing that song, and people are dropping money off. And what's amazing, if you're a country western fan like I am, there's a ton of stars that are in that video that actually, you know, come along, and some end up playing with her, end up playing backup with her and stuff. But they come along and they put money in the little thing there, a little box, or I don't know, there's something sitting there. They're throwing money in, and she's singing this song to raise money. You know, like you see the people in the park and stuff. But she's quite a talented young lady, and evidently wrote that song and sings it. But it's a pretty good little video. There's not a lot of lyrics to the song, but it's a pretty good little video.
Gets the point across.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we talk about money, and I've been saying on this show, because you know we had Harry Dent on our show last week, great show, and I'm going to be going to Harry's Economic Summit and actually be calling into the show. Hopefully, you and Carl are here, and I'll call in from actually live from Miami on that show, and hopefully we'll have Rodney and some other guests that are there that we can maybe talk to and ask some questions. And I'll try to shoot you guys an email to give you a little heads up of who I'm talking to. But you know, if you're looking around, and we've been talking about, you know, Dent's been saying that we're going to have a major correction in the market, and he's gotten slammed by a lot of the national people, and I have people from time to time call me, and they either like Harry Dent or they don't like Harry Dent. It's kind of he's kind of like Howard Cosell. You either love him or you hate him. And a lot of people can't face reality. But the fact is, more and more economists now are saying the same thing. In fact, Warren Buffett has recently came out and said that he looks for the market to maybe have a 50% correction. You have other financial people, Mark Farber, we're in a gigantic financial asset bubble, Warren, Swiss advisor and fund manager Mark Faber. It could burst any day. And I'm telling you, if you don't have your serious money in a portfolio, you know, we've got a caller on the line, so we're going to go right to Jim from Tigard. Jim, are you there?
Yes.
Yeah, and you've got a question?
Yeah, I had a question about an annuity. My mom bought it, and she paid like $50,000 for it, and then she died. And then I was the beneficiary, and I got a check for like $65,000. I assume that $15,000 is taxable. Where do you put that on? Is that a long-term capital gain tax or what?
It's an ordinary income tax.
So that $15,000 would be ordinary income.
Yeah, but here's the thing. How old was your mom?
She was 89 when she died.
Okay. Here's the thing you got to find out. Was the true cost basis, was that actually $50,000 she just wrote a check and put into that annuity?
Right. She just wrote him a check.
Okay. Because we've had some recently. I did a check on one annuity for somebody very similar, and actually she changed from one annuity to another annuity to another annuity, and her actual cost was about $20,000.
No, and so that's they had, not.
Now, you should have had two options. You could have taken the money and
right,
paid.
I took it lump sum.
Correct.
Lump sum.
Smart move. I think that's a smart move. How old are you?
I'm, let's see, I'll be 62 October the 6th.
Okay. And so how's your tax bracket? Are you in a fairly decent?
We go back and forth from a high rate to a to like a 28%, you know.
Okay. But even so, still, you got the $50,000 is tax free.
Right.
And you only had to pay tax on $15,000. That's a good deal.
Yeah, she was a pretty smart lady.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think there's a thing wrong with buying annuities. You just got to buy it and not have it be all of your portfolio.
No.
Yeah, and hopefully your mother had other assets.
She did. Good.
That makes a lot of sense. But annuities are always ordinary income.
Great.
That's the thing to remember.
Thank you.
You bet. Thank you. Good question, Jim. Thank you very much.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. That was a very good question.
Very good. Jim will be getting a 1099 at the end of the year, just as if you had taken a distribution from your deferred retirement account, your 401k or your IRA. He'll get a 1099 showing $65,000 as the gross amount and $15,000 as the taxable amount, and it should be fairly straightforward reporting on his end.
You know, Kevin, that brings up a point that a lot of people talk to us about, and one of the concerns that a lot of people have about the government maybe changing regulations down the road. But, you know, when you put your IRA in or you put your pension plan in, and that pension plan, some of the companies now, here's the best way, I guess, to explain this to you. Let's say a company buys you out of your employment contract, and they're going to let you retire early. And they give you a lump sum of money, which is really salary. Okay. Now, on that salary, you're obligated to pay Social Security tax, all your taxes, right? Okay. But on a pension benefit, when you get income from your retirement, either from your IRA or your pension benefit at this point in time, the government counts that as unearned income, where on a payout, when they're buying you out of a contract, and this is kind of hard. It's a lot of people just don't get this. They say, well, why am I getting all this tax on this money when I'm getting the company and they're buying me out and they want me to retire early? Because it's earned income. There's a big difference between earned income and unearned income.
And this has been the source of numerous court cases to determine what fits under each category. And they've pretty well parsed out all types of income and where they go. But you're exactly right. The one is going to be subject to Social Security, Medicare, and obviously federal and state income tax, and just your standard retirement, your deferred. You've typically, like a 401k, you've already paid Social Security, Medicare in the year that they contributed when you were an employee, and then you just pay the income taxes when you pull it out.
Yeah, unfortunately, a lot of companies do this between October and the end of the year, and they pay you out that money. So they get all that money to write off on their books because they're paying you off. But you have to take that income in a year that you've already worked three-fourths of the year. So now, instead of having your income of $70,000, you now show $125,000.
Very big planning point. And this is something we've done with numerous clients. And in fact, locally here, you know, with some of the Oregonian buyouts that happen, people that have worked, you know, many years for the Oregonian, and there's been several large buyouts that they've done to reduce their workforce. You know, just planning the timing of that, and you know, like you say, you've just worked, you know, 8, 9, 10 months during a year, and now you take a buyout and you lump in a large amount on top of your wage, and maybe on top of your spouse's wage, you're going to just get nailed with income taxes. But if you were to wait until January and maybe your spouse is also going to retire and you're just going to be pulling Social Security for a bit.
Unfortunately, a lot of companies, though, when they do
they
this
know
thing,
that. Yeah.
They don't let you extend it into the next tax year, because we've had a couple of clients, we tried to get it to be able to extend to the end of the tax year, and they say, hey, you either take it now or don't get it.
That's right.
You know, so it's kind of a tough thing to plan, but if you can, you want to do it.
See all your options, get them before you, and then look at what's going to work best for you. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I encourage you out there, if your employer comes to you with a buyout option, the first call you need to do is to your tax person. You need to say, let me see the numbers, and then immediately call your tax person so you can plan a strategy, if there is one to plan. But at least you'll have knowledge, and knowledge is power.
That's right.
Especially when it comes to taxes.
Yep.
Yep. Well, listen, you're listening to Investing Simplified. We're going to take one more quick break here, and then we're going to come back with the last segment of the show. If you have a question, kind of like Jim did from Tiger, give us a call at 503-417-7626 or toll-free 800-990-0750. Give us a call, and we'll answer that question. Thank you very much.
When your legal rights and responsibilities are involved, you need attorneys you can trust. The attorneys at the Warren Allen Law Firm offer you solid legal advice and exceptional service. We practice in nearly all areas of law. We can help you with your legal needs, including wills, trusts, probate, contracts, real estate, construction, landlord rights, business, personal injury, divorce, bankruptcy, and civil litigation. The Warren Allen Law Firm has represented individuals and businesses for over three decades, and its nine attorneys have more than 200 years of combined experience practicing law. By combining experience and knowledge with individualized attention and prompt service, Warren Allen is the law firm to rely on when you are in need of legal representation. We are conveniently located at 850 Northeast 122nd Avenue near the I-205 and I-84 interchange. I'm Carl Jepson, partner with the Warren Allen Law Firm, and I invite you to contact us at 503-255-8795 or on the web at warrenallen.com.
Price Financial Group, wealth management.
Well, you're back to Investing Simplified, and this is the show where we answer your questions. If you got a question, give us a call, 503-417-7626 or toll-free 800-990-0750. And there is no foolish question when it comes to your money. And, you know, Kevin, with the market the way it is, we were starting to talk about it a little bit, but I do want to bring this back up again. If you're not looking at Yahoo Finance, you're not looking around on the internet at different sites about economics and stuff, just don't listen to the news because they haven't got a clue. They just haven't got a clue. You need to do some investigating on your own, do some research on your own, and really look at what's going on in the economy, because if you read the paper, they're going to tell you everything's fine. And they're going to tell you to keep putting money into the market until one day you wake up and the money that you had in the market is now worth 40% of what it was the day before. And you're not going to be very happy. But if you keep reading it, they'll tell you why you ought to be happy, that it'll come back. But what they don't tell you is that the average recovery time is 5 to 7 years. And we believe that this one coming is going to be a 7 to 9 year recovery. So it's going to be a much deeper decline in the market and a much longer recovery time. And so if you're, and I want to point this out, if you're Kevin's age, if you're a young person, this is a great opportunity to dollar cost average and buy low into the market. So look, volatility or a big decline in the market is not a bad thing if you know it's coming. It's a really bad thing if you got your head in the sand and you don't know it's coming, and all of a sudden you wake up or you think, man, I'm invested in the market, man, it's going to make money no matter what. Well, it's not. And you're going to have a time period where you make no money on your money. But if you're a young person, dollar cost averaging, this is probably one of the greatest opportunities coming in your working years, where if you can double down, you know, we talk about double down. Well, I'm telling you, when this market corrects, that is the time to double down if you're a young person, putting more money into your 401k for the next 4 to 5 years, and buy those low-priced equity investments. They're all on sale. Now, if you're retired or you're near retirement, which you can't afford to do, and we tell our clients this all the time, you can't afford to have a large amount of money in a mutual fund inside your 401k and have that thing tank down because you don't have the time to recover. And in all honesty, if your advisor hasn't already given you a strategy for what to do, you don't have one. Okay, we've got a call here from Larry. Larry's got a question. Larry, are you there?
Yes. Chuck, understanding you can't time the market, does it make any sense to try and time the purchase of an annuity since the market's very high now? Undoubtedly, it's going to go low. And since they're going to turn around and invest it in the market, would you try to time the purchase of an annuity since...
Well, are you referring to a variable annuity where you're investing in the, you know, you, it actually is an investment?
Well, you just any annuity.
I don't consider an annuity an investment. I think the wrong reason to buy an annuity is as an investment.
It would not be an investment. It'd be for income, but still the value of the annuity is going to go down.
Well, not necessarily. It depends on the kind of annuity you buy. There are various kinds of annuities. That's why I asked you if it was a variable annuity, invest into the market, and the principal can go down, and there is risk on your principal. Okay?
That's what I'm talking about.
You're talking about a variable annuity. Well,
right.
I wouldn't buy one right now because
right,
I think
that's
the market's...
Why, that was my
yeah,
thought.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're talking about a variable annuity, and I don't know why in this day and age, I think for an investment, if you're buying it because of the income rider and it has a good income benefit, say a 6% income rider, then that would be a reason to buy it because no matter what the market does, even if your portfolio goes down, like for example, there are some annuities, one particular that I can think of, that has a 6% income benefit. And if you're putting that money aside, let's say you put $100,000 in there, that annuity income benefit is going to go up 6% a year no matter what the market does. And even if your portfolio goes to zero, the insurance company is still on the hook for that 6% income benefit. So over the next 5 years, that $100,000 is going to be worth a minimum of $130,000. So your income is going to be based on $130,000. And if you could draw, you know, 5% off that, that's what, $650 a month, basically, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a reason to buy that kind of an annuity because you're guaranteeing the income from the insurance company. And that, if you're doing that, it doesn't matter what the market does because you're not buying it as an investment. You're buying it as an income benefit. And there's a big, big difference. If you're buying the annuity as an investment, I would say you're far better off. There are many other managed portfolios that have kicked the crap out of the annuity returns that you'd be far better off doing and putting your money in those.
Right. I understand everything you said. It's a matter really of the specific annuity as to whether you would do this or not.
That's correct. If you're looking for income and you're doing it, it would be based on the income rider, and you're looking for the guaranteed income, the market really doesn't matter because it's not going to make any difference.
Got it.
Okay?
All right. Thank
good,
you.
Very good question, Laurie. Yeah, that's the key thing. If you're buying an income benefit rider and you're buying it for the income and that income is going to go up no matter what the market does, it doesn't really matter because you're not buying it for an investment product, and that is the difference. That's where some annuities are really good and some annuities aren't. I mean, if you're comparing it to an investment return, like, for example, we have a couple of managed portfolios, one we've had since 92 and another one since 95. They've never had a losing year. Now, one of them's had an average return of about 9% and the other one about 8.47. But the fact is this. That doesn't mean they make 9% every single darn year. I mean, there's years where they made 34 basis points. There's years where they made 2%. There's years when they made 20%. The income isn't a structured income to be the same amount every year. And when you invest money, that is the reality. And when people look at these 7% every single year or 9% every single year, there's no investment like that. There's nothing out there that does that. The only thing that comes close to that is the income annuity benefit that we just talked about, where it guarantees income benefit. But then that money isn't the same as cash. It's an income benefit. So,
exactly right. Well, it sounds to me then to answer Larry's question, put it in layman's terms, since I'm not a financial advisor, that you wouldn't get involved any which way in a variable annuity because that is an investment. And regardless if the market's high or low, you wouldn't get involved in that. But if you did, you would definitely wait until the market dropped to get involved in that.
Yeah, if you're doing it for an investment. However, if it has an income benefit,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter.
Okay.
You can go into it right now because your income benefit is the guarantee part of it that the insurance company is backing. And just make sure you're with a very solid insurance company that has a very strong financial record because if you're going to insure something, you want to make sure the company that's insuring it's going to be here. That's kind of an important question.
Very good point. And if a bunch of people are buying that product and it the market just gets hammered, they're going to be on the hook for a lot of returns that is going to put some financial pressure on that company.
Well, that's one of the big concerns about a lot of companies that do long-term care, that have long-term care policies, and why a lot of us who have bought long-term care, and I bought mine years ago, my premium gets increased all the time because the companies or the policies we bought had a guaranteed benefit, but they didn't have a guaranteed income cost. And so that cost keeps going up. And the older we get, the more it's going to cost because the more the insurance company is paying out claims. So you got to be aware of that when you're buying a policy and saying, what are you buying it for and what's it going to do to protect you? But insurance companies are not in business to lose money. They don't give anything away. You know, you pay for what you get.
Very true.
Yeah. Yes. Very true. Well, you know, Kevin, it's getting to that time of year when you and I need to do a show here coming up pretty soon on some ideas to take advantage of the end of the year for tax planning. It's going to be coming up, and this is the time of year when you really need to take a look at your situation, take advantage of those 401k makeups, take advantage of those Roth IRAs or those IRAs. And I know you and I have talked about maybe doing this one show.
Exactly, and we will have our year-end tax planning show, and there's you know, hopefully we can cover a number of different scenarios that'll address our, you know, high income listeners, our fixed income listeners, people young on the scale, old on the scale, estate planning. I mean, we'll do a number of different things that hopefully should give you some ideas for the year to come.
Somebody want to get a hold of you, how they do it?
503-666-5569 and BakerColson.com.
And listen, go to my website, pfgwm.com. I got some new stuff on there, new video. Also, go to askthefinancialdoctor.com. We have some really interesting whiteboard presentation on there for you to take a look at. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you next week on Investing Simplified.